This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Ong, and you are tuned into the show that's all about the people and places of our capital city. And today on the show, we explore the world of time and our perception of reading time. Have we been reading time the wrong way? I know it's a very weird question to ask, but this all stems from a relatively new watchmaking company. They are called Meme Watches. And at first look, their watches look like, your everyday watches, nothing special. But you look closely, though, you'll realize that the watch ticks backwards or anti-clockwise. All the hands in the watch ticks the other way around, and it's almost like looking at a reflection of a normal watch. At first, I found it a bit weird, just reading time backwards. And then I got a little bit curious, and it seems to me like they did it just to have an unconventional design. But there's actually a reason to all of this. Nazmi Harris, the founder of Meme Watches, tells us his backstory to this unique concept.
Meme Watches, we believe this is rotation. It's a positive thing. Because of everything in the world, includes our cells, rotation, blood circulation. Even when we're running in tracks, we need to run counterclockwise. So we believe it is very natural things. So that's why we choose to have a counterclockwise. Instead, we give more benefits to you.
More benefits to you, yeah. Meaning?
In terms of when you read counterclockwise, it trains your right brain, actually. Right brain is it trains your creativity.
Okay.
Something like your creativity, and left brain more on mathematics and logic.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But time is mathematics, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it should be going on the left brain instead of the right brain.
Because when you read from right to left, actually you need to think of something. You need to think. When you read the watch, for example, you 3 p.m., it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's unusual.
Yeah, it is. It really is. And when I looked at the pictures on your website, Meme Watches, I thought it was a reflection because the numbers go 12, and then 9, 6, and then 3.
Yeah.
What does the name Meme mean?
Meme actually is the first letter of Masa.
Masa?
In Jawi.
Okay.
Meme Alif Sin Alif. It's an Arabic letter. So we choose Meme because of it's the first letter of Masa.
Do you know if there are any other watch companies that does this, that produces counterclockwise watches?
Yes, of course, because I've produced this counterclockwise since 2009 with different brands.
Oh, okay.
Before this, I have involved in the project of DUCT, the brand called DUCT, and then Hydra Timepiece, and now Meme Watches. So we have 5 or 6 different brands in the market.
Oh, I see. So, Meme Watches, is it your thing? And the previous two companies, you joined the companies, is it? Or did you start it up as well?
Yeah, I start all the 3 brands.
Oh, why 3 brands for, watches?
Because before this, I have the DUCT brand. We targeted the more exclusive watches. So, the price range would be 600 to 800 for the new product in the market. I think it cannot be sellable for 600 because we need trust from the market. So then after that, they would buy my watch.
Okay, and then Meme Watches, what's your target audience?
Mostly middle class range person that fought to buy $150.
I mean, it looks quite nice for $150.
Yeah.
But Meme started in March this year. You guys are relatively new. And you're proposing this kind of new concept to the market. How has the feedback been so far?
So far, so good. Until now, we have sold 15,000 units.
Oh, wow. It's a lot.
Since June.
Just in Malaysia? Or
In Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei.
Oh.
So we have a couples of plenty of distributors in Malaysia, Singapore and Brunei.
And are they getting used to reading time backwards, or what were some of the first impressions of people that actually bought your watches?
Some quite surprised with the new things, and they say this is crazy, we're turning back time. And I say this is the real clockwise, actually, because it turns the way our natural things in the world works.
That's interesting. Natural things in the world works counterclockwise. Yeah. It's not something you would observe or notice at first glance.
Yeah. Okay, as you can see, our Earth rotation is counterclockwise too. And also, something circulates, it turns counterclockwise.
Mm, and thinking about it now, even turning the doorknob is counterclockwise. Yeah, exactly. Everything counterclockwise. Is counterclockwise. And so that you think that should be the natural progression of time?
Yes.
So do you not wear clockwise watches?
Since I produce my own piece of counterclockwise watch, I never use it.
Oh man, okay. Local watchmakers, you know, have quite a tough competition, especially when you're fighting up against brands like Rolex,
yeah,
or you know, all the big designer brands.
Yeah.
How did your watch adventure start? Are you a watch collector yourself?
I'm not exactly a watch collector, but I kind of interested in this watch industry because they have like tiny parts of it. And then it's have class, in own class. Like you can see like Rolex, Patek Philippe and so on. They got class. So I interested to join this and introduce a new idea on the clockwise thing.
But for them, class comes with a hefty price, you know. It's pretty expensive to get a Rolex. Or
yeah, I know. Because they produce their own movement. Mm. So we now focusing to produce our own movement, especially on counterclockwise.
Yes. The counterclockwise concept. What was the moment when you thought, you know what, the whole world moves in counterclockwise. Maybe I should put it into a watch. You know, when was the moment that it struck you?
The moment when you see why watch actually needs to turn clockwise instead of counterclockwise. Why everything needs to be clockwise? Why watch need to be clockwise? So we think like everything in the world worth rotation is counterclockwise, our blood circulation, and we kind of make some research, more deeply research, and we know exactly natural things in this world rotates counterclockwise.
What were some of the things you found in your research?
Something like the first thing is like running tracks, Earth's rotation more, our blood circulation especially is counterclockwise. So I quite surprised with it. But the first point is world rotation.
World rotation.
Yeah.
Mm. Would you say you're an anti-clockwise person?
No.
If there's such a thing.
I don't want to use the word anti because anti is a negative thing. Mm. So why we turns this, if you can see in our watch, we have positive clockwise. We put it positive clockwise.
Means the right way,
yeah.
Going clockwise.
We're going positive. Natural way is positive. We believe it. So we don't want to use anti because it's negative. So we change it to positive clockwise.
That's very clever. Zam, I understand that your line of watches have different stories to it.
Yeah.
Can you just briefly tell us the stories and how you come up with, you know, the designs of your watches?
So when I wanted to produce this counterclockwise, especially in MIM, I recruit designers and also very expert people and very good talent to join me, because to make this thing success, I think I need a very good team, especially more on marketing, on the designs, on the operation, and distributors also. We need a very good and quality distributor.
Yes, but how important is the design in this kind of concept watches? I mean, isn't the counterclockwise concept a design by itself?
Because we actually design ourselves our watches, and we want people to look cool when they strap on our watches, on our timepiece. So they not only using counterclockwise just for the sake of counterclockwise, so we put more add-on, more on like the design. We want people look cool, to wear it and feel the pride of somehow it's a Malaysian brand. We should be proud wearing our own brand.
That's cool. You know, like you just said, you know, there are a ton of designers out there. What's your selling point over, you know, these other designer brands?
As we can see from the perspective of counterclockwise watch, the other brand, I think they not go more on the quality design. I mean, the best they can produce, I think. I mean, they can design. So, like our design, we target more on teenagers and 40 and below designs.
Okay, and what kind of designs would that be? You know, a more sleek, colorful,
more
design?
Minimally, something like that.
I see.
More that's minimal. Yeah. Mm.
How hard is it for an independent watch company? You know, big brands have the help of manufacturing plants, and I'm sure you do not have, you know, your own manufacturing plant, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, but you guys have to create these timepieces by yourselves.
We produce these watches. We ordered the movement first from Japan.
Mm.
We use Miyota movement, and then we ship it to OEM factory in China.
Okay.
And they assemble it. But the whole design we send out to the factory to make make exactly like we want it.
Okay, so you guys actually design and engineer the product before sending it out.
Yes,
I see. And how does big watch companies do it? You know, do they have their own designers? Do they have, you know, their own manufacturing factory?
Of course, some of the big companies have their own factory. Some don't have. They also ordered from this big supply of watch movement and like fossils and so on.
So pretty much like you.
Yeah. Cool. We're just selling the idea.
Cool. Very nice. Right now you have a website, an online website, and a online store. Do you have any plans of opening a physical store?
Yeah, of course. For now, people that wanted to buy our product, they need to go to our distributors. So our distributors have retail shops. They put our product there, and then the customer can check out on the website and call or go straight to the distributor. And after that, we're planning to have our own retail shops, I think mostly in KL, hopefully in 1 or 2 more months.
Great stuff. Last question, any new projects other than that coming up?
We're planning to have our own apparel.
Oh, very nice.
Yes.
So you match the watch with clothes?
Yes, clothes.
Does the clothes go anti-clockwise as well?
No, we will reinvent a new fashion.
Alright, so can you give us a sneak peek then? How are you going to reinvent fashion?
Maybe on the collar or something. Different collar or something.
Alright, looking forward to it. Thanks very much for your time, Zam.
Yeah, thank you.
You can check out Meme Watches at memewatches.com. That's M-E-M watches.com. Still to come in today's program, we check out a boutique cafe situated in the old Lee Rubber Building. I'm Daryl Ong. Keep it here on I Love KL, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, you're tuned in to I Love KL, the show that keeps you connected to the people and places of the capital city. And up next, we head over to a small shop in Chinatown. It's not really a shop, it's more like a boutique / retail shop / cafe. It's really hard to find, but once you get there, it's really worth the search. Alana Rebecca speaks to Peter Ho, the owner of Peter Ho Beyond.
Peter Ho Beyond is an extension of the original concept, which was Peter Ho Evolution. So we're going beyond what we did before. And what you see around here in this 8,600 square foot store is beyond. It's great, isn't it?
It is. I find it very beautiful. Wow, it's amazing.
Well, let's describe that amazing to your listeners. You're talking about a huge warehouse-like space. You're talking about high ceilings. Yeah, you're talking about 1932 Art Deco moldings all over, original, not damaged. The space is very well preserved. And this building, as you know, is called the Lee Rubber Building, which is on Jalan Tun HS Lee. And in those days, this was the tallest building in the whole area. And this area happens to be Chinatown. And I know for a fact that most of your listeners don't venture down here. So we've been here about 12, 13 years now.
If I may ask, what inspired you to open this boutique cafe?
Oh, because we have the space. Yeah, because it's not easy to do food, and to do food well is a bonus. Yeah, but we have the space, and when you want to sink your teeth into something, you got to put your heart and soul. Once you put your heart and soul, it will just run well. And so we're talking about the want here. What makes the cafe a little bit different from what's available outside? You know, you asked me why, what makes a cafe different. I think it's different when you put your heart and soul into it, right? And it shows. And then once you put your heart and soul into it, make sure that the final product reflects your passion, your energy, and your vision. It's about you giving your vision and translating them onto a plate, right? And that's what I did. Simple home-cooked food presented in a cozy, warm environment. And sometimes it gets a little bit hectic in here because, like, lunch, we do about 40, 50 people and everybody's having a good time. And they're all regular customers. We know them, you know. So in the midst of the cafe, while you're sitting, you get to see the shop. You're surrounded by all these beautiful items, even if I say so myself, in all shapes and sizes, colors, smells. It's all well lit, I hope.
Yeah,
what do you think?
It is.
Yeah? It's cozy. As you know, Malaysia is about colors, Malaysia is about light, Malaysia is about warmth. Yeah, so it does represent all walks of Malaysian society. The products are specially sourced from all over Southeast Asia. I know some people have a point to that, but I feel that, you know, many things cannot be made in Malaysia because of manpower, because of raw materials, because of technical know-how. But they're conceived in Malaysia. You know, most of the items, I design them or I get inspired or I conceptualize. And we try to look for the best source to get it made, whether it's India, whether it's Thailand, whether it's Indonesia, and one or two items from China. So finding the right manufacturer to realize that vision, which starts from a concept on a piece of paper or on my computer, and then translating into a final product, which eventually ends up on the shelf on the shop floor.
Are the items here at your boutique for sale or just for show?
Everything is for sale. Everything is for sale, 99.9%, except for myself and my staff and some of shelving units. Everything is for sale, and that's the whole reason why we're here. Yeah, it just so happens that we're on the second floor and it's a warehouse space.
Did you study designing? Looking around, I see, you know, it's cleverly put together. Did you study designing at one point, or is this just a hobby?
I didn't study designing, but I think I've lived many lives because, you know, to have so many ideas and to be very clear about what I want and what I don't want, and that can only come from one thing called experience, right? And although I'm quite, I've gone through many years now walking the face of this planet, I feel I've lived a long time, yeah, and along the way gathered a lot of experience from different lives, and
that,
and it comes together, and you just know it. You know, it's the instinct, the intuition. Where does that come from? It can't be from one life.
Yeah.
It's got to be from some previous existence on the same planet, hopefully.
I saw that your menu changes according to what you feel like every day. Is that true?
Yeah. No. I mean, don't read too much from TripAdvisor. I mean, it's good, but it's only one point of view. The menu changes occasionally. When we change it and the favorites are off the menu, customers become a little bit agitated. They come for certain things and we have to make sure that we have those certain things, like our quiches, our chocolate cake, our chicken mango salad. You know, they want that. So if we change it, you know, oh, they get a little bit upset. Oh, what do you mean you don't have quiche? You know, we came all the way. And then, you know, yeah. So we have our standard popular items. And occasionally we try to inject a few here and there. But most of the time we just run with what we have because, again, we're not a cafe servicing the general public. We are a shop which happens to have a small food corner servicing regulars.
And what would you say to be the components of your success formula?
Hard work. Yeah.
Hard work.
And you must have a little bit of talent. That helps. Yeah? Yeah. Money doesn't help. The money in this business, in what I do, money is not going to make this space successful or this business successful. You got to have the talent and you must be prepared to work, put in the hard work.
So would you like to say anything to our listeners?
If you have time, do drop by. We're open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 7. Lunch starts from 12 and we serve till about 4 or 5, depending on how much food we have left. Yeah.
That was Alana Rebecca speaking to Peter Ho of Peter Ho Beyond, and it's located in the second floor of the Lee Rubber Building on Jalan Tun HS Lee. Sadly, we've come to the end of the show, but if you missed any part of the interview, please do download the podcast at bfm.my. And also, we'd love to hear from you. Tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio. My name's Daryl Ong, and you have been listening to the show that keeps you connected to the people and places of the capital city. Stay safe and tune in again next week for another episode of I Love KL, only here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.